determine three parts case, this is part one. If we want to make contacts, we want to develop those contacts or friendship by time with them. So we invite people, and we invite people all kinds of things to grow friendship. And I do this because I care for the person. It's not just so that they get to know God. But of course, I want them to know God. For the simple reason that it's so good. It's so amazing. You do know God. It's so tremendous. When you've got Jesus in your life, and it just changes everything. So that's why we want to see people come to know God. So we can invite them to all kinds of things, come to have a coffee with us, have a meal, to go to a football match, come on Friday night to listen to John Archer, to go to the cinema, go to the theatre, whatever, even to go to church. Now, this morning, the title of this morning is Making Contacts and Inviting People. And at first, when I first started to prepare, I was thinking in terms of strategies. You know, talking about strategies to make contacts and invite people. Because we, probably most of us don't need to make many new contacts, because we know lots of people who don't know God. But we might have wanted to talk about strategies, like inviting them for dinner, and after dinner saying, "Oh, I thought we'd just watch this Billy Graham video." Or, you know, you give them for Christmas, you give them a Christmas present. How to be saved? Well, yeah, as I was preparing, I found myself going well away from actual strategies and finding that God wanted to emphasize something very different. The most efficient way to grow a church is for Christians to invite and bring along their friends. In 1978, I would not have been seen anywhere near a church, but in 1979, I was in church. I was going to church regularly. And a mate of mine called Steve, who was a scouser, I was living in Liverpool at the time, he said to me, "Liverpool, in Division 4, I can see, that's League 2 for those of you who don't remember Division 4. Liverpool in League 2, I can see, but Melbourne in the church, never." And that was how far away I was from church. But how did I get there? I was invited. I was invited by my cousins who I was living with for a time, and they were people I liked and admired. And when they invited me, you know, I'm a member of the church, but all those barriers, fears even, prejudices, all those things that made me think I was never going to go to church, they all came down like a flash because I was invited by people who I really like, in fact, I love. Now, think about this. In a year's time, let's say by Easter 2021, would you like to see our church doubled in size? Yeah? And that's not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say what a great church we have, but that's so that people can experience the amazing blessing of knowing God, and it's also for God's glory. So how many people, we're going back to another maths problem, how many people would each of us have to bring in 14 months from now to next Easter to double in size? Not a very difficult maths problem. How many people would each one of us have to bring to church in 14 months to double in size? One. Correct. So out of all the names, I'm hoping you've got a tag on here with names of people we're praying for. Out of all those names, each one of us, just see one person in 14 months, our church will double in size. The problem is, we lack confidence in this whole area. And there's a whole lot of barriers that stop us from sharing our faith with our friends. There's barriers that stop us from inviting people. You know, you don't actually have to share your faith, but if you just develop that friendship, and just see what happens. And you can always invite them to church, and they'll hear about Jesus. confidence in other ways. But this big problem of confidence is the thing I feel God wants me to talk about today. Massive problem of confidence. And to grow confidence, I want to show you six weapons. I'm calling them weapons, I'm not sure if that's the right word actually. Six assets, six strengths, six weapons that can help us to gain confidence and be ready to look at our friends as people who need God and who we can help to find God. And we're going to look at those six through looking at the story of that we've heard of Silas and Paul. And their non-escape from prison, which you know, they didn't actually escape, but they were released. What happens is Paul and Silas and the rest of their team, they're doing missionary work, and this girl is following them around and calling out, "Oh, you servants of the Most High God, you're telling people how to be saved." And she keeps doing this, and eventually Paul realizes that she's got an evil spirit, and that's what's doing this. So he turns around and he just casts out this evil spirit. So this girl is then left unable to tell fortune. So her owners, who were making money out of her, are not very happy. They end up getting Paul and Silas thrown into prison. And Paul and Silas are they're stripped and beaten with rods. They're severely flogged. And they're thrown into prison. Not only that, but because of something about them, the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. So he puts them in the inner cell, right, which is no chance of escape. And extra precaution, fasten their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, if I'd been severely beaten with rods, severely flogged, then I'm chained, and then I've got my feet in stocks, I can then move. And then turn to worship. The first weapon, and an incredibly important weapon that we have, is focused worship. Now, I'm not talking about singing songs. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about a heart engagement with God, where you or I are focused on God and we're saying, "God, I love you. God, I really love you." Because worship is that. Worship is an expression of love. And what does that do? Okay. Ray, will you be God for me for a moment or two? Okay. Would you stand, please? Okay, so I need someone else who can come and help me over here. Alan, can I help you? So Alan's over here. And God's way over there. Now, theologically, God is actually really far. But, you know, have you had that feeling where you feel like God's a long way away? And so Alan then decides to worship. So he starts worshiping. He starts thinking about God. He starts thinking about stuff that God has done for him. He starts to be grateful. He starts to say stuff to God. He starts to say sorry. See, some of the things he's done wrong are barriers in the way. So he starts to say sorry for the things he's done wrong. So what happens? Wait, come a bit closer. It feels like to Alan as if God is coming closer, and actually it's the other way around. Because God's all there. Alan starts to feel he's closer. Come a bit closer. And as he worships, come a bit closer. And all of a sudden, yeah, you can move to the end, of course. Yeah. tell us, tell me, what else comes as you're closer to God? What else are the benefits? Anybody?
Peace.
Serenity. Friendship, yeah.
Confidence.
Confidence, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And you just thank God's presence with you, don't you? So do you agree with me?
Yes.
Focus worship, so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to worship. That's great. Thank you.
The first time we sing, we want to see Jesus, but